Here in John 16, as we continue through this amazing chapter, Jesus here now is talking about our joy that we have in Him. Next week, He's going to talk about the peace that we have in the Lord. So He's preparing the disciples for His departure and helping them to understand that we can have joy in the midst of trials, in the midst of a wicked world. We can have peace in the midst of trials and in a wicked world because it comes from the Lord and it's independent of our circumstances. So here in John 16, beginning in verse 20, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So that's our title. Your joy no man taketh from you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to grow us, to teach us, to bless us. Lord, we are grateful that we can open it together freely and study it together and learn. May the Holy Spirit help us to learn tonight your truth and just bless our whole evening to your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So he's explaining to them that after the crucifixion, they're going to be sorrowful because honestly, they did not completely understand the purpose of the crucifixion. They completely didn't understand the resurrection, even though Jesus had foretold it. As we know, when he did die on the cross, they fled and they hid. And it wasn't until Christ came back from the dead and met with them that then they understood that Christ would conquer death. And then their sorrow was turned into joy because they got to be with the Lord. So he's predicting what's going to happen, that they're going to be sorrowful while the world rejoices that this man who was preaching repentance had been crucified, but then he'll come back from the dead and the disciples would have joy. And as we learned Sunday, the resurrection changes everything. Amen. And that's what he's saying, is because of I'm going to come back from the dead, there will be no more sorrow. Now you're going to have joy. And it's the same for us. Because Jesus has come back from the dead, we can have joy because we know that we will have a resurrection. We know that we have conquered death through Christ. And so the fact that Christ rose from the dead changes everything for a Christian. So here in verse 22, he says, "And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." And we know, as we look, especially in the book of Luke, that they spend a lot of time with the Savior after his resurrection, before his ascension. At least over a month they spent together. Can you imagine that intense time with Christ, just studying the Bible together, understanding it better now that Christ had died and been buried and had risen? And so he's saying, "I'm going to see you again, and your heart shall rejoice." The day that we got saved, we were indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And the source of true joy, of course, is God. That's why the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the second one in the list there is joy. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. Why is that? Well, our sins are forgiven. Amen. We're wicked sinners, but they've been forgiven. Heaven is our home. It's now our hope. It's now for sure that we're going to see Jesus. Jesus is with us. He's our best friend. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's given us God's people to fellowship with. I mean, we could go on all night, couldn't we? But our joy now comes from the Lord. Now, remember, we as Christians are commanded to rejoice, aren't we? How often? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. We're commanded to be rejoicing all the time, even in the midst of trials, even when someone's attacking us, even when the world is falling apart, which it is. God says, rejoice in the Lord always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. There's two words in that whole verse. And those two words are rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Continue rejoicing because of what we have in Christ. Because we are now on our way to heaven. Our sins are forgiven. We have God's presence. So true joy only comes from God. And God explains in His Word that the closer we are to Him, the more we are in His Word, the more we're ensured that we'll have the joy. And so I want to just share those verses with you quickly. So let's go to Psalm 16:11 and just show you that joy comes when we are close to God. Now, so notice Psalm 16:11, and we'll just walk through some scriptures together. Not surprisingly, a lot of them are in Psalms. Why is that? Because that's the book of praise. Notice Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of what? Joy. In thy presence. So in God's presence is fullness of joy. And so the more time we spend in God's presence, the more we will rejoice. Now Psalm 19, just a couple of chapters over. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Look at this next phrase. Rejoicing the heart. And so not surprisingly, being in God's presence and being in God's Word means that we will rejoice. And of course, joy comes from God, so that's not surprising. In that the statutes of the Lord rejoice the heart. A couple more, Psalm 71, verse 23. God teaches here that singing helps us to rejoice. And you don't have to be a musical person, but God wants us to sing, does He not? Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, we're told. That's not talking about congregational singing. That's talking about us singing to God, just ourselves, in our hearts. Psalm 71, 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. Isn't that good? Singing helps us to rejoice. Being in God's presence helps us to rejoice. Being in God's Word helps us to rejoice. And then go to Proverbs 21, and we'll see another one. And this one as well is not surprising and has to do with obedience. So notice Proverbs 21, verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment. So it's joy to obey. So these are not surprising. There's joy in God's presence. There's joy in God's Word. There's joy when we sing to the Lord. And there's joy when we obey God. And then John chapter 16 again, where we started in verse 24. Which will be here next week. Look what he says. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. When God answers prayer, does that give joy? Absolutely. When we pray and God answers, it fills our soul with joy. And then I already mentioned Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Again, as we yield to the Spirit of God, then God, the joy flows through us from God's Spirit. So joy, God is the source of joy. That's the point. And as we spend time in His presence, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, as we spend time in God's Word, praising the Lord and obeying His Word, God says we will rejoice. And Paul wrote from prison, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Sitting in the stocks with chains around his ankles, he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. So, what can take away joy? We know how we get joy, but can it be taken away? Well, sadly, it can, and we all know what it is, don't we? It's sin. Let's go to Psalm 51, one of the most beautiful repentance psalms in the Bible. This was written by David after his sin with Bathsheba, after he got caught out by Nathan. And look what he says here as he's praying, as he's confessing what he did. Verse 12 of Psalm 51, he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." In the early part of the psalm, he's confessing his wickedness, what he had done with Bathsheba and Uriah. And in this repentant psalm, he says, "Lord, please restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Why was his joy needing restored? Because of his sin. Because when we're in sin, we're not close to the Lord. We're not close to God's word. We're not praising the Lord. So that is the consequences. And if we don't have the joy, it's not because God isn't there. It's because of sin. So sin will hinder the joy. And if we're not careful, we'll allow sin to take it away. If we're not careful, we can even allow others to take it away. You say, "Well, how's that?" Well, Jesus said, "Your joy no man taketh from you," right, in this passage. So how can others take joy from us? Well, if we won't forgive, that's sin, and it's bitterness. So now we're allowing that other person, they might not even know it, but we're allowing that other person to steal our joy because we're not willing to forgive them. And we're living in basically sin. Judgmentalism, being judgmental of others, that'll steal joy because, that again, that's living in sin. They don't even know that you're being judgmental of them, but they're stealing your joy. So if we're not careful, we'll allow ultimately the father of lies, the devil, to steal our joy. And Satan did come to steal, right? And to destroy. We read in John 10:10. So he doesn't want Christians to have joy. But joy, rejoicing, I believe, is a choice for Christians. We're commanded to do it, but it is a choice. You know, Psalm 118:24, most of us know the song. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will," what? "Rejoice and be glad in it." It's a decision. It's a conscious decision to say, "I am going to rejoice. I may be going through pain. I may be going through suffering, but I can choose to rejoice." And David had learned this. Others in the Bible had learned it. Habakkuk is one of my favorites. Let's turn there to chapter 3. Where in the midst of trials, he made a decision that he wasn't going to stop rejoicing in the Lord just because things weren't going well. Here in Habakkuk chapter 3, look at verse 17 at the end of the chapter here. He says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice." Isn't that good? Habakkuk says, though absolutely everything is going wrong, literally, yet I will rejoice. And we need to be the same. When you say things might be going terrible, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because I have salvation, I have heaven, I have Jesus, and none of those things change because of my circumstances. Even when we're tempted, James says in James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience." In other words, we can even rejoice when we're tempted, knowing that it's good for us. And so Jesus here made this beautiful statement, and we need to claim it. Amen? "Your joy no man taketh from you." And as we see, our joy, if you go to Nehemiah 8, we'll close verse 10. Our joy comes from the Lord. So the more time we spend with Him, the more time we spend in His Word, the more time we spend praising Him, the more time we spend obeying His Word, the more we're ensured that the joy which comes from God through the Holy Spirit as fruit will be flowing through us constantly. Don't let sin steal it away. But I love what Nehemiah says here in chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Isn't that good? The joy of the Lord is your strength. This was right after the people were lamenting that they had sinned and that God had punished them, and they were sorry for their sin. And Nehemiah said, this isn't a bad thing. This is a good thing that God has affected your hearts this way and that you're sorry for what you've done. That's good. So don't let this situation steal your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength, he said. And the people went away and they obeyed what Nehemiah said, and they rejoiced instead of went off and cried about what had happened. And you know, we can do the same. Like Habakkuk said there, no, everything's going wrong. I will rejoice in the Lord. And Jesus said, I'm about to leave. You're not going to understand it all, and you're going to be sorry, but I'll be back 3 days later, and then you'll be rejoicing. And then they went and rejoiced until they died. Amen? Because Jesus had risen from the dead. We can do the same. We can rejoice always, as Paul said. We can rejoice evermore, as Paul said. We can always be rejoicing because joy does not come from our circumstances. It does not come from whether or not we're happy or sad. It comes from God, which means it's always there. So don't let sin steal it away. And don't let, as Jesus said, no man can take it from you. And then next week we see the same for peace. The joy and the peace of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your